So what's the celebration all about, right? Why are we celebrating? What's going on to call this a celebration Sunday? Well, friends, first and foremost, and always and throughout, all that we give thanks for, we're here to give thanks to God. Amen. We're here to thank God simply because of who God is and to celebrate God because of who God is before we talk about anything that he does. And so we want to really celebrate who God is. To help us do that, I want to share a praise psalm with you. Psalm 148 says this. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. And he issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord for the earth, you great sea creatures, and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, king of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted, his splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we take a moment and praise God? Will you do a standing ovation with me if you're able to stand for a minute? Let's just stand and let's applaud and thank God and shout out to him as you love. Praise you, God. God is so, so good, and we praise him this day. Thank you so much, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You are so good. I could keep going, but I'll let you stop. Please be seated. Friends, we're just glad that you're here to help celebrate. Any celebration that we have should always begin with celebrating God. It should always be included with celebrating God. It should be all throughout that we're talking about that we're celebrating God. We're also celebrating today because of God's blessings that he has poured on us and poured on this church for many, many, many years, far before my time here, far before your time here, I would presume. Old Fort Church has been a lighthouse in the cornfields and the bean fields and the wheat fields of Seneca and Sandusky County. Thousands of people drive by on 53 this area, and right back off of a road is this church that sits here. And some people come from six towns around to come to worship in this place. Many of them pass plenty of other churches, other bodies of worship, in order to come to this lighthouse in the fields. And I believe there are a few reasons for that. First of all, God's here. God's here. Now, I'm in no way suggesting that God's not in any other church or any other body of worship by any means whatsoever, but I'm stating the fact that God is here. I'm just saying clearly what we know of Old Fort Church, that God is here. And he's been here for a very long time. I believe he's been here since the church's beginning in 1893. I believe God has been present in this place. Were any of you here back here in 1893? Sometimes it feels like maybe you were, right? And he's been here throughout. The best thing about that, in my mind, is that it doesn't say something special about us. It says something special about him, right? It's his story. It says something about him. I also believe people come to worship God in this place because there's a realness here. There's an authenticity here. I'm not saying that we don't put up facades. I know that we all do that sometimes. We don't want everybody to see our junk. I get that. But even so, it's not the prominent thing. It's not the predominant thing. We're real around here. Folks are going to greet you. They're going to chat with you and take you for what and who you are. And I'm not saying that anyone here is perfect. And that's what makes it real, because we know we're not perfect, right? We know we're not perfect. And that brings a great authenticity. I also believe that many people here truly, truly love God. And they want to know him. And they want to live for him. And they want to move to have their lives be more and more and more like Jesus. Doing life together is such an important thing among many of us. And that's part of what the church is for. Another reason why people come here is because we worship. And we talk about Jesus. And we teach about Jesus. And we proclaim Jesus. And to the best of our understanding and our ability, the Bible is the authority in all things for us. That's what we want to be. So part of the celebration today is honoring God in all the ways that he's blessed this church and all the ways that he's blessed us over the years. And I'm hopeful today that as we have our lunch, that there'll be stories and discussions and great memories about all the things that God has done over the years in this body as we eat and as we share and as we fellowship. And if it's people who are new, they get to hear some great things, is what I'm hoping, as we share lunch together. But we also celebrate that God is currently doing what he's currently doing and what he's going to do at Old Fort Church. We've taken some new and big steps as a church. I don't know that any of us realize the big steps that we've taken, but we have. Big steps as a church, and we're already seeing how God is honoring that. God raised over $150,000 in 6 weeks. So that we could follow God's lead to step out of the denomination that has lost its way. And so that we can stand up for God and stand up for God's word without hesitation and move faith forward in a new affiliation supported by other churches that want to honor God. And that is an incredible thing. And I guess the biggest part of our celebration today is it's an independence celebration. Around the same day that we're celebrating the Independence Day of our country. And have you ever given thought to the 13 colonies of the United States of America that stepped away from the British crown? Have you ever thought about the rule of the British crown, what was going on in their hearts and their minds? Listen to some of the words from the Declaration of Independence from July 4, 1776. The first part of this will be familiar to you. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But I read the whole Declaration of Independence this week, and after what I see is after sharing what their concerns are, what it was they're breaking away from in this British rule, they come to the actual declaration that they're making, and here's the declaration. They say, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, a general Congress assembled appealing to the Supreme Judge," they're talking about God, "to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of God, of good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from the allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Friends, that's from the Declaration of Independence. This, friends, was the pledge of the founding fathers of the United States of America within the Declaration of the Independence. This is the independence that we celebrate this Tuesday, July 4th, 2023. However, today we're celebrating with it our independence as a church, free of a wavering denomination and a trust clause that held us to it. You know what we got in the mail on Friday? On Friday, we got the release from the trust clause. The documentation came on Friday. And although we're now affiliated with a new denomination, the Global Methodist Church, we do that in free accord as an independent state, choosing alliance with them as one church under God, for God, to live the mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ who worship passionately, love extravagantly, and witness boldly, and where we can and will stand on God's word with a foundation that's going to do the same. A foundation, a denomination that wants the same thing. There's a lot to celebrate today here, friends. A lot to celebrate, and that's what the big party's about after our worship time. If your friends or family who've come today, who've come with someone else this morning, and this normally isn't where you're at, we just want to give you a huge welcome. We are really happy that you're with us. Some people who've come back who used to be here today, we're really happy to see you here. It is such a good thing to have you. Thanks for being here. You matter so much to God, and you matter to us. We want you to know that. And if you don't have a church home, or you're looking for one like what I've been describing, or even if you've not been looking, but something that I've said has begun to pique your interest, friends, then please, please, please join us again. And keep joining us, because you are welcome here. You're welcome here. Over these past weeks in our church, we've been leading up to today's celebration as we've been looking at God's story with Noah to help us move faith forward. And I'm just going to give a recap, because not everybody's been here all these weeks. So here's a recap that brings us to where we are today. In the day of Noah, all the people in the world except for Noah and his family had grown evil, with evil as the inclination of their heart, the Bible says, all the time. All the time. Their hearts had turned hard toward God. They'd become an evil people. And with that happening, God had to make a heartbreaking decision. And by heartbreaking, I mean heartbreaking to him, something that would break his heart. He had to make the decision to restart the world with Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives and two of every kind of living thing. And so Noah had to build, God had him build this huge boat called an ark. And on the ark, God saved Noah and his family and these animals to restart humankind. Then God brought a huge flood that covered the whole earth, and only the living things that were on the ark would survive. Last week, we looked at how they floated in this flood and this water for 150 days before the flood waters finally receded, and they ended up on dry land on the top of a mountain. And we're picking up today, the story today, where Noah shows his celebration of God and all that God has done for him. See, Noah and his family and all the animals, they've unloaded from the ark. And look at first the first thing that Noah does once they get off the ark. We read in the story last week up to this point, and we're going to pick up from where we left off last week with just a couple of verses. In Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 through 22, says this: Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. The first thing they do when they get off the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, we talked about why those were loaded a few weeks ago, he sacrificed burnt offerings on that altar. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Let's focus on a couple of things here that are happening. First of all, as I said, Noah and his family celebrate and they worship God. God's rescued, God's saved them, and after 150 days, that's 5 months. After 5 months floating in the flood that's covered the earth, God's now put them on dry land, on solid new ground. And now, there's no more wavering in the water, no more uncertainty in their step, no more rocking or teetering of a boat, no more waves, no more sea legs, any of those things. They're now on new ground that's solid, new, and good. And God's with them. And so they do what anyone who's been carried by God, who loves God, would do. They worship him. They worship him. They celebrate him. The way that Noah did this was to sacrifice the animals, the clean animals that God told Noah to place on the ark for this very purpose. And it says the smell and the aroma of these animals was pleasing to God, like a great big cookout, right? Now, we're not going to sacrifice any animals today. You'll be happy to hear that. But we are cooking out. So you might have some pleasing aroma. It's going to be pleasing to me, I'm sure, as we have food in a little bit. God doesn't call sacrifices of animals in worship any longer. What he calls for is just a pouring out of our heart to him. That's how we worship God, just a pouring out of our heart. It says in Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart before him. That's why we sung worship songs today. It's why we're going to celebrate communion together. We're pouring out our hearts to him. It's why we'll sing more worship after we do that, because we're pouring out our hearts, celebrating God. Now, friends, we can actually see another parallel from Noah's account to our own. Noah and his family had gone a long time building that ark, hadn't they? And then they floated in it for 150 days, for 5 months. And then after floating or following God, they reached this new ground. And each week in this series, we have identified a different boat to use as a metaphor for our faith. And today we're not using a boat. Today we're using ground. Today's faith is a new ground faith. We're talking about what a new ground faith is. We haven't spent the last many years in the evil of humankind that Noah did, but it has been a many year debate of the turning of a position, a slow turning of a position of the denomination that we were a part of in that church, and the challenge of our faith to when it was time to finally get off of that boat. Well, as of July 1st, yesterday, it's the first day that we are off of that boat. Today's our first Sunday on brand new ground. And with that, we need to now move faith forward in this new ground faith. Old Fort Church is not going to change in the fact that we're going to be the church we've always been, that strives to be true in God's word and all the things we've talked about, just like we were before this voyage began. But we also don't want to stay a status quo church. We don't want to stay status quo. God has more for us in the new ground faith, and so it's time to get our faith forward walking shoes on. Now we're going to start walking. We've been sailing. Now we're going to start walking. And get this. Guess how long it's been since we had our first all-church meeting where we talked about the state of the United Methodist Church. We had that survey, and then in that survey, we asked the opinion of the churches whether we should move toward disaffiliating from the United Methodist Church. You know how long it's been? It's been just a little over 5 months. They were on the ark for 5 months. It's been just a little over 5 months, and we're getting off the ark. And we're stepping onto new ground. When our over 5 months ago started, one of the big questions was, how are we going to raise around $150,000 to do this? How in the world will that happen? That was one of the biggest questions people asked. And just like God provided everything that Noah would need, God also provided all that we would need. You know, one of the great things about the new ground that we're on, we don't ever have to talk about what's going on in the United Methodist Church again. We don't ever have to say, this is what happened at conference this year. This is what happened at conference this year. We don't ever have to say the word disaffiliation again. Aren't you tired? I didn't know that word before this process. I don't want to hear that word again. We're not talking about anything that was. We're talking about what is. We're talking about what God's going to do. And we should praise God for that. I want to point out a couple more things about this part of the story with Noah and what God says in this passage. God says in the second part of verse 21, he says, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. Friends, God's establishing a new covenant with man, not to ever destroy the living creatures like he did in that form again, but also notice what he says about humans. He says, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. See, God already knows this, but he's recognizing for us that humans are sinful people. Every one of us are sinful people, and we're born into sin. We're born as sinful people. You and I are sinful, and our lives started that way, and God knows it. And that's why he later sends Jesus, so that there's a remedy for that sinfulness. In Noah's day, things had grown so evil, so bad, that God did what he had to do. But he's not going to flood the earth like that again. Instead, Jesus will make a way for a new covenant that will be a covenant of salvation to all who believe in him. God then does something else really cool to mark the covenant that he makes with Noah and to point us toward the everlasting covenant that he's going to bring through Jesus. Look at Genesis 9, verses 12 through 16. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. Friends, the rainbow and every rainbow that you see in the sky marks God's everlasting covenant that's fulfilled through Jesus Christ. It's a reminder of God's goodness and his conquering over sin. It's a reminder that he's here, that he's not left, that he has a plan, and it's to redeem us to him. That redeeming comes through Jesus. It's a reminder that a worldwide flood will not happen again and that God's covenant is real. And friends, this covenant made by God to a world that still produces sinful people, it's our only hope. It's our only hope. Jesus is our only hope. That, friends, is why you may sometimes see Christians get kind of disturbed when they see other human groups that try to take the image of the rainbow that God gave us to mean and represent something else and to make it something contrary to his truth, a twisting of the covenant plan. The devil regularly likes to take the good that God gives and to twist it and to pervert it to mean something else. But that's all the farther I'll go on that today. For the rest of our time today, we're going to talk about moving faith forward and this new ground faith that we have. And to do that, I'm going to present to you three questions for our new ground faith. Three questions. First question is this. How can we celebrate God's goodness in our past without staying in the past? Without staying in the past. We're already celebrating today. We've mentioned past things already, and so many of the good things, some of them are good things, but we don't want to be like the folks sitting in McDonald's, drinking coffee in the morning, talking about how great the past was, and then complaining all about the present. You ever see that before? Now, if you're in one of those coffee groups at McDonald's, I'm not saying that all the groups do that. I'm not coming off after anybody. I'm not saying that all the groups do that, and your group probably isn't. However, I've seen it more than once, friends, in these groups. I'm not, in general, like a huge McDonald's fan, except I really like their breakfast. McDonald's has really good breakfast. And some of my day off is on Friday, and sometimes on Fridays when I'm off, if Caroline's working in the morning, I like to go to McDonald's and get their breakfast and just relax and sit there for a little bit and maybe read my Bible, maybe read some news on my phone, just chill and be there. And I just really like their breakfast, and I do that. And I find that alone time pleasant once in a while. Well, sometimes I'll go to Tiffin, sometimes I'll go to Fremont, but either location has them. There's often this table of folks joined at a corner table there, and they're usually reminiscing and rumoring, right? Reminiscing and rumoring. And I'm not trying to be mean. I think it's great that they get together. That's a great thing, but I'm just calling it as I see it. Reminiscing and rumoring. Well, hear me. That kind of thing can't ever be us. That can't ever be us. We're stepping forward in faith onto new ground, not to old ground. Great things have happened in the past with this church, and they should be celebrated, but you can't set your sail in the past because the Holy Spirit's not blowing there any longer. The Holy Spirit's blowing in the future and in the present, and that's where we need to set our sail. Listen to these powerful verses from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 through 19. It says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." I mean, don't those verses fire you up even a little bit? If they don't, I may be able to help you find a table in a corner at McDonald's. Because they should fire us up just a little bit. Yes, celebrate. Remember what God's done, but don't set your tent there. Don't set your tent there. God is always doing new and great things, and we want to be on the move. We don't want to be camping out. We want to move where God moves. Listen to that same verse now in the New Living Translation of the Bible. It just says it in a little different way that I also find engaging. So hear this. It says, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do." Doesn't that fire you up just a little bit? "It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you see it? It will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers and dry wasteland." I want to move faith forward with God into the new that He's going to do. That's where I want to be. And I'm already excited about what I'm hearing from God's stories, about how God's been moving in churches that have already traveled away, have already done part of this that we're doing now and broken away into something new. And I'm already excited for what I'm seeing in the GMC, the Global Methodist Church, and I'm already excited to see what God's been stirring in our church right here and now. One pastor, a friend of mine that I spoke to, their church moved forward in the way that we are back in November. And he told me that since January, the church he serves has grown 15%. They've grown 15% just in moving faith forward. He told me that there was like this tangible shift in the atmosphere. And he says, "You just watch it. It's going to happen. You're going to see this shift in the atmosphere of your church." And I told him, I said, "I've already seen that shift happening. I've already felt the atmosphere changing." You see, God honors faithfulness, and that shift of the atmosphere will change with it. I didn't understand how bound we were as a church just because of our affiliation. I said the word affiliation, not that this word. Just because of our affiliation, how bound we were as a church, we've not been walking the direction that the church has been going, the denomination's been going, but we needed to make this stand. We needed to make the stand that we're making, and God made the pathway through the wilderness for us to do it. For us to do it. The second new ground faith question is this. How do we move faith forward in faith? What does it mean that we're on new ground? What does it mean? Now, while I wish I could tell you that God's revealed to me that whole answer, but he's not, okay? He's not. Actually, I'm not even sure I really do wish that he would reveal the whole answer to me, because I'm certain that I couldn't handle the whole answer of what he wants to do all at once. But what I can tell you is that God has revealed to me the path. And it's not anything big to me. If you just look at his word, you'll see him reveal the path to you as well. I don't know where the path is going to lead us or any one of us, but I know the path. And the path has a name, and it has two engines that drive it. The path is called faithfulness. The path is called faithfulness, and those engines that drive it are to trust and obey. That's all that we have to think about. How can we be faithful to God and trust and obey God as he leads us? That's the start of the path. That's where we need to head. Our only steps on this new ground are to be faithful as God moves through the Holy Spirit to lead us, and to be faithful and by trusting and obeying him. In my life experience, it's been the times that I've been most faithful to God that I've had the privilege to walk with him in a pathway of newness that he's provided, and it's when I trust and obey him that I stay locked into where he's leading me. Many years ago, shortly after Caroline and I got married, I got a call to serve as a discipleship pastor in another church, and after being in this new church for just a short time, I realized that God had called us to something really new and remarkable. There were remarkable things were happening at this church. I was perplexed as to why we had the privilege to be a part of what God was doing in that place. So all the people he could choose, why did he choose us? Why were we there? I couldn't understand it. I was on the phone with a friend not long after that. I was talking to him about this, and I said, I just don't understand why God's allowing me to be a part of something that's been so special. And he could have chosen anyone else. And his words to me are words that I've never forgotten. He said, it's because you've been faithful, Mark. And he says, and God honors faithfulness. And I responded to him. I said, well, you know, if that's true, I want to always be faithful. Because I really love being in what God's doing. So I want to always be faithful. Friends, we move forward in faith on this new ground by being faithful through trusting and obeying God. There's no other way to please God. And this is our goal. Look at what it says in Psalm 32, 8 through 11. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or a mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Trust and obey. Shout for joy, all of you whose hearts are pure. Here's the third and final question for this new ground faith. And the question is this: how should we go as God leads us in the future? How should we go on this path? Now, we'd all like to know, like I said, where God's leading us in the future. And since we can't know that answer, we can see what God's word has to tell us about how we should go in this future. So here's what scripture says about how we should go. Proverbs 16:3 says, this is how we should go. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Friends, if we commit our steps forward in our Lord work to the Lord, he's going to establish every step for us. Let's not step with our feet alone. Let's step with commitment, with a commitment to God. How should we go forward? Proverbs 9:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Do you know what that verse is telling me? It's telling me not to try to plan it in my own mind, what God's already purposed for us. What he's already purposed for us. Of course, preparing and planning isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. But it's really easy to try to push ahead or to push away from God and to forge our own path. And that doesn't turn out so well. We need to let God do the planning. How do we go forward? Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present or earth time are not worth comparing with the glory that is being revealed to us." Yes, friends, the times are bad. The times are bad in our world, aren't they? We see that. We know that. And they're getting worse. But, the suffering of this present time, it doesn't compare to the glory that's going to be revealed to us. Doesn't compare. Move faith forward in God's glory to come. Live for what God will reveal, not for what the world revels in. How do we go forward? Philippians 1:6. "And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Friends, it's faith forward and hope that God's not done with us yet. He's still completing his work, so trust him to finish. Trust God to finish what he starts. And one more. How do we go forward? Matthew 6:25-34. This is a little bit longer one. It's one many have heard, but listen as I read. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall I eat? And what shall I drink? Or what shall I wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that they need them all." And here's the key. "But seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." My faith forward, move faith forward by leaving anxiety, by leaving worry behind you, and instead seek God's kingdom. And he's going to add everything that we need. Everything that we need. So how do we move faith forward as he leads us into the future? These verses tell us, 1, commit your work to the Lord and he'll establish your steps. 2, keep your planning behind his purpose. 3, live for the glory God will reveal, not for what the world revels in. 4, place your hope in God's completing his work in you. And 5, worry not. Seek God's kingdom first and he'll add all that's needed. Friends, today we celebrate God and all of his goodness. We celebrate all that he's done for us, in and through us. We celebrate new ground that God has established for us. And we celebrate a new independence as a church that teaches us a greater dependence on him. One really beautiful way for us to conclude such a time of celebrating is for us to celebrate in the Lord's Supper together. So I'm going to say a prayer for us, and then we're going to do just that. Dear God, we thank you for everything new. We thank you, God, that you have been in the past, you are in the present, and you're leading us in the future. We thank you, God, that you have provided a way of salvation for everyone. The scripture just told us that everybody's born with an evil inclination in their heart. It wasn't just the day of Noah that people turned to evilness, but it continues. We're born into that, and every one of us needs a Savior, needs someone who pays for our sins. That's Jesus. He's the ark of our salvation. So anyone today who's not asked Jesus to forgive them can do that very simply. Jesus, forgive me for my sins, for the evil inclination of my heart. Come into my life. Lead me this day forward in Jesus' name. God, we love you. We celebrate you. You are so good. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Friends, if you'll take that cup that you have, there's a clear layer on top that leads you to the little bread wafer there. If you'll pull back and get to that piece of bread and hold that in your hand for a moment. Jesus is what it's all about. Jesus is what it's all about. And when we were built in with the evil inclination of our heart and born sinful and living in this world sinful, God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for us so that by receiving him, we can be forgiven. And Jesus took the bread on the night with his disciples and he broke it. And he said, this is my body that's broken for you. He's saying, I'm dying for you. Every time you take and eat this, you remember it. So friends, let's take it and eat and remember together. If you'll pull back the next layer to the juice in front of you. Jesus then picked up a cup and he said, this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, this new covenant that's coming through Jesus for our forgiveness. So every time you drink of the cup, drink and remember. Remember that Jesus died for you, that your sins can be forgiven through him. And you can have a relationship with God because of Jesus, because of his taking your place to die, and because he rose again. Friends, take, drink, and remember. Thank you, Jesus, for your body. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for a new relationship on new ground that we have with you. In Jesus' name, we pray. I want to close this with a prayer, but then I'm going to have you stay put, okay, for just a few moments so I can give you some instructions. In our summer sessions, we're going through the book of Ephesians, and this is a prayer that was in part of the scripture we studied Wednesday night, and we said it as a prayer over the group, and somebody said, you should do that on Sunday. And I thought, you are so right, we should. We've done this one other time before, but this comes from Paul's prayer. He's praying for the believers in Ephesus. And it's my prayer over you this morning. So if you just bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'm going to pray over you from the Word. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in all the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.